You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's get this hootenanny going. And you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Yeah!
If you missed the first hour, Bill Beard already gave us a great in-the-field report of the hot mess that was the Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting with local restaurateurs. You guys were amazing. You showed up in force, and you told them that they've lost their mind, that people with zero restaurant experience who have been ruining this place for 20 years is now telling you exactly how to run your business in the most bizarre way possible.
17 rules on how to run a restaurant from the people.
Including making a reservation for every restaurant in Tucson before you showed up. That includes McDonald's and Taco Bell.
Yeah, brilliant.
I mean, that's the gene. And, of course, you got to take the temperature of the guy delivering your tomatoes. I mean, it's just amazing. So check out on my Facebook page. You'll see the lady from the barbecue place in Vail and Sam from Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue talking about the $4 million he has sent to the coffers over the last 10 years and how the Board of Soups might be getting sued soon by the restaurant business. I thought that was a little bit of a spicy tamale. And we had Rob Bluey, VP of the Heritage Foundation, also in the first hour. Steve Moore coming up from the White House Economic Recovery Task Force. But let's, and this hour brought to you by Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Block. They are the best in masonry products right here and selling it direct to the public. Let's go to author Dominic Green, Spectator USA. Bringing him back. We enjoyed him the first time. We decided to bring him back the second time, as they say. So, Rob, good morning, sir. Sorry, Rob. She's author.
Good
Dominic,
morning.
Good morning. Slap my face today.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Dominic. Welcome to the show, sir. So, I'm a soccer guy, and I was thrilled to see that Bundesliga was back in action. I literally was sitting with a dog watching the Cologne Mainz game, and I was like, I can't believe I'm watching German soccer, but I'm so desperate I'm watching it, so it was good.
This is what it's come to. Yes, we've reached this. We're bottoming out. I have to say, my team in the English league was one spot above relegation when they put the whole season on pause.
Who's your team?
So I'm one of the people at Watford, which is where I grew up, you know, and Elton John used to be the owner. He used to arrive in a helicopter, and in those days they were virtually an amateur team. So, and they went all the way to the top league, and then they've had some troubles more recently, and they were poised to crash down. So I was one of the people pressing for them to suspend everything and just call the whole suit as it was.
So now you're hearing they're going to finish the season in June, and now you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So the anxiety has already started again. You know, better than nothing.
And you guys, your mascot is this terrible-looking bee, so God bless you.
Yeah, we are the Hornets.
The Hornet, that's right.
Yeah.
Hornet. It's so crappy, I thought it was a bee. Now, when I go to your stories on Spectator USA, I just love your... I don't know who's picking your headlines. I don't know if that's you.
That one, I suspect it might have been me.
We got Trump picks a Swedish model, right? I love COVID-19, the Bluffer's Guide.
Yeah, that was,
Lockdown's over, someone tell the government. So I know we're going to talk about your religious revolution. I want to talk about that. But tell me real quick, give me a little thumbnail sketch. I just love COVID-19, the Bluffer's Guide. Tell me about that.
Well, as you know, all of us knew nothing at all about this until about the end of January. And then by the end of March, all of us have become expert epidemiologists. You know, we know everything about it. And the Bluffer's Guide is designed to help you keep an edge over your friends and family when the major topics come up. So you know the difference between the test for antibodies versus the test for having it. Or you know the names of obscure researchers. Or you know who Batwoman is, the Chinese scientist who would go into those caves and get covered in, you know, feces from the bats and come back with one of them in a plastic bag. You know, because you have to keep an edge in this. Otherwise, no one is going to believe you when you advance your theory as to how this thing got started in the first place.
So I just got to tell you, Dominic,
everyone has their theory.
The mayor of Tucson, who would love to keep this locked down until the day after Election Day, okay, she literally said, she extended like her state of emergency for the city, which means really nothing except the employees stay home a couple more weeks. And she literally said, we're just doing what the scientific modeling gave us. And I'm sitting there going, who is using the word modeling now after what their record?
Model? Yeah. Is this the same scientific modeling that told us that diesel was better than gasoline, for instance, or that margarine was better than butter? Those of us who, you know, were eating margarine for years and puttering around in diesel vehicles have questions to ask about, you know, the scientific modeling.
There's a lady that used to, I don't know, how long have you lived in the States?
15 years.
All right, so there's a lady that used to be an online psychic. Her name was Miss Cleo. She was from Jamaica. And our take on this is Miss Cleo is better at telling the future than the Imperial College guy, John Hopkins, and the University of Washington put together.
Absolutely. If I was going to ask Miss Cleo what the weather was going to be like tomorrow, I'd take her word for it over any of these experts. And I'd like to just mention that even in England, you don't have to make a reservation to go to McDonald's.
That was literally a rule that they codified into the health code last week in Pima County. It's a little wild, as we like.
Yeah, it is.
Tell me about Trump pick. I'm going to keep you over break, and we're going to talk about religious revolution. But tell me about, again, I love the headline. Tell me about Trump picks a Swedish model.
Well, unfortunately, the story is not as exciting as the headline sounds. what it means is, you know, the Swedes went their own way when it came to responding to the coronavirus. They didn't lock everybody up. Instead, they tried to carry on as normal as they could. And they didn't come out of it much worse than the people who crashed their economies and locked everybody inside. No one really wants to admit it, I think, but the U.S. is heading to the Swedish model because you cannot control a third of a billion people to start with, and you cannot control them when the states have rights. It's simply not possible to put any, short of martial law, you cannot do it. So therefore, as we've seen in the Midwest in particular, governors make an informed decision on what they reckon is the risk level, and then they've tried to go through it rather than around it. And ultimately, that seems to be what the president has in mind, too. He's been very skeptical all the way through, and he's pushing for the economic recovery that everybody now needs. So we're going Swedish, but no one's going to actually say that that's what we're doing, because that means a raised death count.
So answer this question, Dominic Green, then we're going to go to break and come back. Look at Florida. Isn't Florida the Swedish model?
Longingly. Yeah, it is. It is. And I'm looking at Florida longingly now because I'm still locked indoors in Massachusetts. Florida is very much Swedish in its modeling, and they also have a lot of good weather, which does seem to be a help in this, as indeed there is in the Southwest. So they've actually led the way. And the politicians who not panicked are the ones who've come out stronger from this. If you look at the way it's been handled in New York City and New York State, that was a panic reaction. And now they're painted into a corner. You have a situation where the mayor is threatening to arrest people for buying booze outside a bar and then sort of loitering, daring to consume it while leaning against the bar counter that's been put up. What? You know, that's ridiculous.
Well, like de Blasio's going to send the cops to pull people out of the water.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. You know, and ultimately, people won't put up with this kind of stuff. You know, the law is maintained because people consent to being messed around. But when it's done on this scale and when it prevents them from making a living or simply walking around, they're not going to put up with it in the long term. They can't afford to, and it's an insult to their dignity.
All right, Dominic, hold on for a couple of commercial messages, okay?
Will do.
Thank you, sir. Dominic Green, Spectator USA. Go to spectator.us to find out what they're doing. I think this is a perfect thing for what's going on in the world right now. The Queen, Aretha, it's called Who is Zoomin' Who? All right, it's Cher's birthday today, so we're going to share a few songs of Cher. Ed has worn the same exact pants that Cher wore in this video. He has actually worn this going down Fourth Avenue.
Yeah,
so
baby. Yes.
He's the man.
I got the same shoes, whole thing.
I don't know if Dominic Green's still on the phone after listening to that. Dominic, welcome back.
I'm shocked.
but you do love Cher, though, so it's okay, right?
Do you really
love
Cher?
Come on.
I do.
I wasn't sure about the one where she had the kind of warbly vocal effect. that one. But the earlier stuff, yeah, and the one you just played, you can turn back time. Yeah. How can you not?
All right, well, we're going to ask you a question we ask a lot of guests on the show locally, but first concert you ever went to, Dominic Green?
Honestly, Count Basie Orchestra
yes.
in London in 1975, which affected me for the rest of my life.
I'm impressed
by
that.
In a good way,
I'm impressed by that. And what's the best concert you've ever been to in your life?
The best concerts I've ever been to, I can name three. Am I allowed three?
Sure.
Okay. Bruce Springsteen at Wembley Stadium in 1984.
Nice.
Bob Dylan at a baseball park in New Hampshire, where he turned out one of his amazing shows.
He was doing baseball parks.
Yeah, and it was just stunning, and it was outdoors on a summer evening and a small place like that.
It's interesting you say that, because I remember someone in the Wall Street Journal did a review saying he should stop singing after he did the baseball park tour, so God bless you.
Yeah, I'd paid and been disappointed several times before, and as it wasn't far, it was magnificent. And, you know, at the end of All Along the Watchtower, which is the last number, It literally, when they hit the last chord, the thunder, lightning broke, and there was, you know, a torrential downpour. And he sort of stood there looking impressed with himself, like, oh, you know, that good. And everyone in the audience was equally stunned. So
nice.
The only other one that's come close to that was, and that's a disappointing person often to see live, was Lou Reed, who would always be in a foul temper and would delight in playing, you know, the most atonal and nasty songs when everyone wanted to hear Walk on the Wild Side. And then late in his life, he seems to have got into doing Tai Chi and suddenly became very happy. And we bought the tickets and went along. And the first person to come on stage was the Tai Chi master. And he stood on one side of the stage and was doing these moves as the band were playing. And Lou Reed was really happy, and he played all the hits from start to finish, which I felt was payback for all the times that I'd bought tickets and had to sit through a nightmare.
I just got to – we're going to find video of the Tai Chi guy on stage one day. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Tell me about the new book, Religious Revolution.
Well, talking of Tai Chi, this and you asked earlier, you know, how long I'd been in the States, and I said 15 years. And early on, I noticed that I was attempting to do things like stand on my head and the downward dog and yoga and these things. And I thought, well, how is this happening to me? That this seems normal. And when did this start? And so I started looking into it, and I realized this was something to do with the way in which, you know, 100-odd years ago, people had a religion, and these days they tend to describe themselves as spiritual more and more. And what does that mean? The word didn't even exist 150-odd years ago. So I look back in it, and I realize that a lot of what we now take as normal, in fact, was invented in the late 19th century by a bunch of complete wackos and lunatics. And so I trace the story of how alternative religions and modern spirituality was created, much of it actually in the U.S., in fact, in the Northeast, with people like Emerson and Thoreau, later Madame Blavatsky when she was in New York City. And after that, you know, the first Indian yoga teachers who arrived, in fact, worked up the road from me here in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So, and it's really the story of how the world shifted the way that it understood itself.
Now, has this been a net positive for the world?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's democratic. For good or bad, you know, people should have the right to choose, right? And I think on balance, perhaps a lot of it has been very positive in that they, you know, to take responsibility for yourself does mean thinking about what life is for. So I've been making use of the fact that I've been locked indoors for the last few weeks to edit down the final chapters. And so it'll go off to the printers, I hope, in a couple of weeks. Either that or I'll go off to the undertakers, because it's quite a job finishing a book like that.
Tell me. I assume the Beatles are in this discussion, right? Hanging out with the.
They come in at the end, exactly. The Beatles are the very end of this chain. It's true, because they did more than anybody in a way to mainstream these things. You know, it's like a lot of stuff. It begins as the marginal behavior of a few cultish weirdos. You know, the first communes or something were set up, you know, in the 1830s and 40s. And gradually it grows and grows until it seems perfectly sensible that somebody whose day job is writing, you know, hooky pop tunes should go off and meditate in India for several weeks and then come back with the secret of life. And that all of his listeners, instead of saying, please go back to the 3-minute pop songs, will say, yes, I think you've got something there.
So if you're the Maharishi guy back in India, right, and all of a sudden the largest band in the history of the planet decides to become devotees, I think that's quite a way to multiply the message.
Yeah, the thing is, they did get on very well. I mean, you know, after all, they both had extensive collections of Rolls Royces.
When's this book, you think, going to get out to the human beings out there?
Well, I'm hoping that if the publishers accept it, you know, I'm hoping that they'll be desperate now, you see, the coronavirus economy, and then I can force it around. So it should be out at the end of the year, early next year.
How many pages are you shooting for?
I think it's about 350-odd plus, you know, the trimmings, which is a long read. You know, if we're ever allowed to go back to the beach, it's the kind of thing you could read on it.
Well, that's not going to happen for a while. De Blasio's got, he's ready. He's got he's got snipers and drones waiting for you, Dominic Green. So, hey,
I rather think he has. Yeah.
Thanks for the discussion as always. We'll see you again next month. I'm enjoying our discussions together.
Delightful. Anytime. Take care, Chris.
Bye. All right. Enjoy being trapped in your basement. We'll get you out soon. I promise.
Yeah, let me out, please.
Have a good day. That's Dominic Green, Spectator USA. Love having Dominic on. We come back. Steve Moore is making a revisit. He's with the White House Economic Recovery Task Force. And then we have tamales at top of the hour with Sherry from Tucson. Tamale, Martha McSally, U.S. Senator, coming up at 8:30. So, Ed... you can keep playing. I'm going to keep talking a little bit here. I think we're maxed out for our happy hour for with Kath tomorrow. You can't have 60 people on this thing, but there should be 20 to 30 people on this Zoom with Kath McCauley tomorrow that we're doing. It's a virtual happy hour at 4 o'clock tomorrow where she's going to be doing kind of a paint along, and we're going to drink and talk. So... when we come back, Steve Moore, White House Recovery Task Force. Wake up. Hey, Ed Alexander, Christy Simone. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Thanks to Dominic Green from Spectator USA. Always enjoy our conversations with that young man. It always sounds classier with an English accent. let's go right back to the phones, calling in Steve Moore. He's on more task force and committees than any man I've ever met in my entire life. Steve, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Last time you were unleashing the economy, now you're on the White House Economy Recovery Task Force. So,
That's right. And we've got to get this. You know, the good news is that we've got now, I think since the last time you and I talked a week or two ago, we now have about 28 states that are really opening up pretty widely. We're starting to get America back to work. It's all very positive. That means that there's still 20-some states that are in a lockdown, and that's pathetic, really. I mean, you've got states like New York and Connecticut and New Jersey and my home state of Illinois and Michigan and Pennsylvania and California and Washington. And, you know, you're a little ray of sunshine there out in the western states. But the states that are opening up, you know, can you go to restaurants now in Tucson?
We can. And, the governor, of course, and you know Doug very well, opened it up that, you know, they should open up. And they can open up if they want to. And it's the idea that they should follow CDC guidelines. And a lot of the restaurants, just by pure market forces, are going to do the totally right thing here. But we live in a liberal petri dish here, Steve Moore, in Tucson.
I know.
And,
but, you know, it's good news. You know, my feeling is, look, at this point, let's let people decide. If they want to go outside and go to a restaurant, let them. If they, you know, I have a lot of relatives who don't want to come out for the next 6 weeks or something. If they don't want to, that's their God-given right. But let's take the power away from the politicians and let people make decisions about what they want to do. And that's happening in so many states. You know, the really good news is Georgia, Florida, Texas, those are three states that have opened up pretty widely, and they were the first states to open. The news is really good there. And not only are their economies starting to percolate, but you're also seeing big reductions in the death rates and hospitalizations. So what those states are proving is that you can, you know, open up your economy in a safe way and really keep people from getting sick.
So, Secretary Azar was on with the great Jake Tapper on Sunday, and he mentioned that the states that were opening up were not seeing a spike in corona stuff, but some of the ones that stayed closed did. And of course, because this is all political now, right? Basically, the D's were saying that he was full of crap and just selling a line, And so when you hear Azar say that, what's your take on that, Steve?
Well, the data is the data. By the way, we're putting out a little newsletter every morning that anybody wants to get. If you want to go around the fake media and see what's really happening with coronavirus, just go to the Committee to Unleash Prosperity website, and you can just sign up for free. It gives you the real information. But this is just the real data, which is, you know, the Georgia, Florida, Texas seen really nice declines and promising declines in the death rate. Now, look, you know, this is a disease. We don't know, you know, what's going to happen. It's interesting in New York. One of the things the media isn't telling, although Cuomo inadvertently let this out a week or so ago, over half of the deaths, or not the deaths, but the people who got sick from coronavirus, half of them were people who sheltered at home.
Right.
So wait a minute. How in the world is keeping people sheltered at home, keeping them healthy, if half the people who get sick are at home? So, you know, you're there in Arizona, by the way. You're an outdoor state. The best thing you can do for your health is to be outside. Nobody gets sick from coronavirus from being outside. It's from being confined in, you know, crowded spaces. And so, you know, look, if you go to a restaurant, if you go to a store, I'm in favor of wearing a mask, and I'm in favor of gloves and disinfectants and whatever it takes to defeat this. But what I'm not in favor of is paralyzing our economy. That is going to cause huge hardship for the American people going forward.
So last hour I was having a conversation with Rob, the VP from Heritage Foundation, and about how do we break this lockdown. And I brought up the thing is, the you know, in some of these states, is doesn't everyone have to say, we just have to sue our governor? Is that where we're at right now? Is that how, is that, because we're seeing they're not doing great in courts, these governors?
Well, look, my feeling is, so what you're seeing right now, it's really interesting, is, you know, red states are opening up and blue states are not. Republican states are opening, blue states are staying shut down. And I, as I mentioned earlier, I'm from Illinois, you know, that they've got a dunce cap governor there named Pritzker, and he wants to keep the economy shut down for another number of weeks. And all he's doing is destroying his own businesses and the livelihoods and the lives of his own people. But you know, I believe in federalism. I mean, the people voted for him. Now they have to suffer the consequences. Now, there are a lot of lawsuits now going on by citizens that their basic constitutional rights are being violated by these governors, and I'm all in favor of that. Look, I think, you know, my own opinion is that the history books will write that what we've done over the last 8 weeks has been one of the most catastrophic things we've ever done in the history of the United States, and we've lost trillions and trillions of dollars. And not just, you know, I'm not talking about rich people. I'm talking about, you know, 40% of the people who've lost their jobs make less than $40,000 a year. So the poor are getting really, really hurt here. And liberals are such hypocrites, and they say keep everything shut down when the people who are the victims are the very, you know, working class Americans and low income Americans who are just getting really, really damaged by this. So, I think the summer is going to be really bad. We're going to have a really bad summer because of the, you know, mistakes we've made. As the economy starts to get back up and running, we've lost a lot of businesses, and I feel so heartbroken by small businessmen and women who've lost their businesses because of what government has done. But I do think by the fall, we're going to start to see a recovery, and, you know, it's going to be an interesting election, obviously. I mean, I can't imagine trying to get the economy back on its feet with somebody like Joe Biden as president, but we will see. So
I love quoting Barack's old Reverend Jeremiah Wright about the chickens coming home to roost. Tell me about what we had when March 15th rolled around, and this virus is where it's at, right? Talk about where we were at in all these people in positions of government, all of these elected officials, Congress people, senators. Where did we, over the decades, we got to this point where a critical mass of these elected officials made these horrible decisions? I know it's a big question. What led us to this point that this critical mass of elected officials were this bad when the heat was on?
Well, that's a great question. And whole books are going to be written about this and going to be coming out in the next few months about the you know, you could write a book just about like the 101 stupid things government has done. But the fact is, you know, it's interesting. I was in Arizona right at about the time when everything started, the panic really started setting in. And we were at a hotel there in Phoenix. And I remember people started clearing out of the hotel. And I thought, well, my gosh, people are really panicking here. And, you know, there's an old saying that, you know, when government responds, makes decisions either during a crisis or when they're drunk, they make really bad decisions. And so I think people were spooked, people were afraid. I think the media has played an enormous role here. The media is not telling people the truth. We knew from what was happening in China and Korea and some of the Asian countries that had coronavirus hit them first. We knew that it was an old person's disease. And the evidence is crystal clear about this. In most of the states, two-thirds of the deaths have been in nursing homes. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Two-thirds. And, you know, look, I had a parent in a nursing home. I mean, you know, I believe that every life is sacred and life begins from conception till natural death. There's a big difference between somebody 90 years old dying and someone who's 9 years old dying. No children, with very, very, very few exceptions, no children have died or even gotten very sick from coronavirus. Again, there are some exceptions, but, you know, your child is more likely to get hit by a car walking across the street than to die from coronavirus. And yet, can you explain to me why we shut down the schools?
There's no reason whatsoever. The only people who should have not been at school might have been if you had a teacher who was over the age of 60 with some sort of underlying conditions, and they could have stayed home.
I'll give you another example. You know, since we're talking about stupid things government does, we passed a bill back in, I think it was early April, the first big bailout bill and the relief bill.
CARES.
We are now in 31 states, CARES, I can't even keep track of them. It was a phase one, phase two, phase, they're on phase four. They faced about six bills. But in any case, we are now paying people in 31 states more money to stay unemployed than to work. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. How are we going to get a recovery? I've talked to people who run construction companies, stores, restaurants. They can't get people back to work. They can't get people to come into to work because they get more money for watching TV and not having to get up at 6 in the morning. I mean, so stupid things like this. We started paying, giving million, $3 million, $5 million grants to companies that were never going to lay off their employees. You can't make this stuff up. And now Pelosi has a $3 trillion bill that she thinks is going to revive the economy. We've already spent $3 trillion. We're going to have massive amounts of debt that we're imposing on our society and our kids and grandkids. It is insanity that has been going on. And I can't even, you know, by the way, how in the world is spending money on the National Endowment for the Arts or spending money on environmental justice grants or spending money to bail out the Illinois pension system, what the hell does that have to do with a health emergency where people are dying from a disease?
I will tell you that, just give you a local angle about David Schweiker and I keep talking about perverse incentives, right?
By the way, let me just stop you there. Yep. David Schweiker is one of my favorite congressmen. I love that guy. He is a superstar. Is he your congressman? Or
no, this is the best part. Our congressmen suck. I have Kirkpatrick and Grijalva. So I have to have David calls in every Thursday for years.
He's my favorite guy. I mean, he's just one of the best, smartest guys in Congress. So even if he doesn't, you know, represent some of the people on this, you know, in this area, you know, he does Arizona proud. And so anyway, I just wanted to get that in.
No, I'm glad you did. We have more people who get help from him, like business people down here, because they got to go to his office than they do the two jokers we have here.
Well, you know, what was he saying?
No, what I was going to say is we talk about perverse, him and I keep talking about this phrase, perverse incentives of the CARES Act, right? And one of those is, of course, the money, the $38,000 and $13,000 for saying something's COVID, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, of course, is unemployment. So I want to give a local angle because we're a local radio show. We have a CBS affiliate here, KOLD, and they're talking about Tammy Hall, the owner of the Rincon Family Salon. It's on the south side of Tucson, and she can't get her employees to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she furloughed them, but they decided not to return. They're getting more money, getting the $600 extra a week from the CARES Act, and now she's working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, to try to come back out of this hole.
It's not fair, by the way. How is it fair that somebody should be able to get more money for not working than how is it fair to the people who are on the job? You know, I have a friend who has a construction company. He has about 80 employees. He said the day after they passed that, quote, CARES Act, 30 of the workers just walked off the job. They weren't hired. They just walked off the job because they could make more money not working. And how is that fair to the 50 who are still working? you know, they're the suckers, right? I mean, we all know those are the heroes, the people who are still working. But the government treats them like they're suckers.
So Mnuchin just announced yesterday that if you're asked to come back and you say no, you are no longer going to get the federal money anymore. So we'll see how they enforce that.
Yeah, I mean, they do that. I hope they enforce that. But I guarantee you, you know, people aren't stupid. They know how to game the system. They'll say, oh, well, I was feeling sick or this or that. They'll find some kind of exemption. You know, we just have to stop pretending that government is the solution to this problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sick of them calling these stimulus bills. These don't stimulate the economy when the government, you know, passes out free money. All they do is stimulate government. And what we need is our businesses back, our workers back. Obviously, they have to come back in a healthy way with all of the best, you know, medical and health measures that we know about. But we have to get the economy up and running, or else we're going to impoverish all of our citizens. We're going to put, you know, tens of millions more Americans into poverty. We're going to see millions of our businesses fail. We're going to see, you know, people in lines a mile long at the Salvation Army food trucks because they don't have any income. We're going to start seeing shortages of goods and services in the grocery store, because if nobody's producing anything, it doesn't matter how many checks the government sends out to people, right? So let's be smart about it. Let's do it in a way that's effective. Let's do this. And by the way, you know, while we're on the subject, I like your senator. I'm sorry, I'm blanking out on her name.
Thanks, Sally.
Senator. Yeah, she has a great bill to be very punitive towards China. I love that bill, which basically says China is the one who spread this germ warfare in the United States. They should pay. They should pay us. And she has a reparations bill. And I thought that was a really great thing that Senator McSally did. She's a smart lady.
Well, she'll be on in about 40 minutes, and we'll talk about it more.
Will you tell her I said that Steve Moore says that's one of the best bills in Congress right now?
I will let her know.
And let's do this more often. I love being on your show. It's a you know, pleasure. And, you know, Arizona, by the way, you guys are going to be ground zero in this election. You know, no question about it.
You are correct. So, Steve, I appreciate the time, and we'll do it again soon, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Have a nice day. That's Steve Moore, Senator, Committee to Unleash Prosperity. He's on a lot of different things back in D.C. So when we come back, I'm going to get a couple of things I need to get off of my chest again. And then Tucson Tamales coming up at the top of the hour. It's our friends at Berlin with the old Metro. Don't go on there. Too much COVID.
That girl, Patty Russo's birthday today.
Wow.
You didn't know she had a name, huh?
I knew she had a name. I just didn't know it. 7:55 in the morning. We have heard you on text messages, emails, and Facebook. We know there's challenges with some of our online listening. So the proper geeks have been notified. So we are on it. So I don't know when all that, some of this stuff's coming back.
I just got another call. I checked it. It works. I asked him if he was on TuneIn. Said no, it's just on our website. Our website works. I just checked it on my phone and on the air. So I don't know. Refresh the things again or something.
That's
now,
true.
TuneIn, I don't know anything about, so that could possibly be a problem.
Let's go to bill number two on line 174.
Oh, come on. Fake news.
Hey, good morning, guys.
William?
The over-the-air is working really good. Tell them to clean out their cache and maybe reboot the machine. Anyways,
thank you,
what
sir.
I was calling about, and it hit home, about, you know, the effect that policies and government policies and, you know, and regulations and stuff have on businesses. My landscaping business, they were running an honest business. And what I mean by honest, you know, they're not a cash business under the table. It strictly, you know, pays all their taxes and all the stuff you have to pay as to be an honest business person. They've been in business for 24 years. And I remember, when did the minimum wage hit? What was it, a couple of years ago they started raising it up?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember when that first one came through. The bill was substantially up, and nothing they can do about it. They just had to pass it on. And I think that hurt pretty bad. And the death knell, they just literally shut their business down after 24 years. I was with them for 17.
Paul, your landscaper, and I know them very well, they shut down?
They shut down. they closed. I mean, and I'm just surmising what actually happened, so I don't know this for a fact, but they had plenty of clients, but I don't think they could get any help. They were running three crews, and they were finally down to just one. They couldn't get the help. And then when the $800 a week gig shows up, nobody's going to work. And nice. So they just...
They were a great company, too.
Fabulous people, and hardworking and solid. And so you end up with an $800 boondoggle, and... You know, these people are just going to stay home for 3 or 4 months and assume they can get a job when they come back. Well, maybe there will be one, maybe there won't be. But this is a good example of, and I'm sure there's others, businesses that have literally shut down because of, you know, the minimum wage, and then all of a sudden you just get pounded with something like this. Pretty tough stuff, but that's what I wanted to just let people know, that it's real out there. It's real.
And I know those people. They did some work for me in the past, too. That is sad as hell.
Really was. It was a real big shock. Well, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Thank you, Billy. Have a good day. 790-2040 is the phone number. On a brighter note for you consumers, especially in the OV, a lot of ladies in my life have been waiting for the Ross Dress for Less to open up in Royal Valley.
Yeah, can I go shopping?
It's opening in 2 hours.
Yes.
So be ready.
Let's not have a stampede, okay? Let's just slow the roll.
Ed's got to get some socks.
Yeah.
So we come back, Food Wednesday, brought to you by our good friends at Visit Tucson. And it's Sherry from Tucson Tamale Company will be here. And then we have Martha McSally, U.S. Senator, at the bottom of the hour. So I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's going to be one spicy tamale coming up in the third hour. Wake up.